With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Time to look into our crystal balls for Week 14. Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, filling in for Joey P today. As we said on the pre-show, it's a breath of fresh hair, perhaps, probably because I have too much hair right now. We've all got a lot of hair going on this show. He had a family emergency come up, so I'm filling in. She'll be back next week on this show, as always. I am joined by Andrew Erickson and our guest, Chris Welsh, at Is It The Welsh on Twitter. And Welsh, I was actually thinking about this before we started recording. We both did leading off this year. Did we ever do a show together?
No, we didn't. That's a great, great call. We never got to cross paths. I think because you've kind of been put in that host role, we have to fix that. This is the first time that we've done it. And I just want to one more time acknowledge, like, the different variations of hair that we have here is so unlike anything that we've had over here for a while, especially with Joey P under there. So I just want everybody to acknowledge, from the Jimmy Neutron to the Absolute, that is corporate Erickson rocking right there. And I love I would call it, like, in a baseball term, it's like the dirt bag hair. Like, you just got the, like, I'm just ready to roll out. I don't care about nothing. The Eric Burns hair. So I'm very happy to be here. I'm very happy to do a show with you. I'm happy to see that Erickson face. What's up, Andrew?
Yeah, it's fun to finally be on the mics together here. Erickson, how's your early week? I usually talk to you at the end of the week, you know, on Fridays and the Sunday recap show. How's it feel to be, you know, podcasting with me at the beginning of the week and actually looking ahead a few days in advance?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pleasant surprise to get you on the podcast, Ryan. So excited to be on here. And I'm excited to talk more about these props, because last week I was solid. 4-2. Goff hit the over. Kirk hit the over. Singletary money. Under. Barkley under. It was Nick Chubb that let me down, because the Browns decided not to give him the ball 30 times. So he came up short on his rushing yards prop. And then Trevor Lawrence, you know, he just came short, you know, his passing yards. And it was weird because Kirk hit the over on his receiving props. So you'd think that Lawrence would also hit the over. You usually want to correlate these types of props, but it just didn't work out that way. But 4-2, we'll take it.
Yeah, you can't really blame yourself for missing on a bet when the reason it happened is the Browns are dumb, because the Browns just frankly are dumb. Erickson is at Andrew Erickson _ on Twitter. I'm at Ryan Wormley. That's Wormley like how it's dressed when cold outside. And of course, we can be found everywhere online at Fantasy Pros. Week 14 predictions, that is the show, will be a quick one for you. There are 6 bye week teams this week. Just want to mention them for everybody. Falcons, Bears, Packers, Colts, Saints, and Commanders. So you will not hear predictions on any of those players because they are not playing on Sunday. Welsh, we'll start with you. You're the guest. Number 5, what's your first prediction?
All right, on the predictors here, we got some good ones. And I want to say ahead of time got to see Erickson's, and that was one of those, dang, he got to the sheet before me because he killed it here. So I jumped around. But my number 5 on the list, I think it's kind of a slam dunk. I'm going with Amon-Ra St. Brown over receiving yards, which is set at 80.5. And I know it's Amon-Ra. There was some questions earlier on in the season, but he has hit this 3 of the last 4 weeks. Minnesota, you know, I've been picking on Pittsburgh all season long, but I am down to pick on Minnesota, and I have been doing it for weeks here. Minnesota gives up the 2nd most fantasy points to starting wide receivers and the most yards to wide receivers. Here's Amon-Ra St. Brown those last 4 games. He hit it 3 of the 4, I told you, 114, 112, 76, and 119. He's had no less than 7 catches over those 4 games. It's just a situation where they're either going to be in it and slinging it, or they're going to be behind and slinging it. And Amon-Ra St. Brown is the top guy. Probably also be interested in a catching prop, but I love this receiving yard prop. That's my number 5, and I'm taking the over.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Early in the week, we've seen a lot of money coming in on the Lions. They started just a week ago, and obviously before the week 13 games, they were, I think it was like 3-point underdogs to the Vikings. They're now favored by the last I saw was 2.5. So there's a lot of money coming in on them. And obviously St. Brown would be a huge reason why if they end up winning that game. Let me ask you this, just because he is such a beast. If this line theoretically was 100, would you still take the over?
I mean, not in like a betting standpoint. I'm not against it. I mean, he has hit this also 3 of the last 4 weeks. So exactly. I wouldn't put it against or anything like that. Jared Goff can kind of waver over the last 6 weeks. He's got 2 games under 200 yards, which you don't love. He also has only hit 250 yards once in the last 5 games, but the last 2 games they've really picked it up as far as just kind of getting guys healthy, getting back into it. He's averaging 39 pass attempts over the last 2 games, and I think that trend's going to continue. But again, like for me to jump into a 100-yard receiving prop, your name's got to be like Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, or Justin Jefferson. Otherwise, I'm probably not going to play around.
This isn't technically a bold prediction show. It's just a prediction show, but we want to be a little bold and you have the spirit of our convictions there. Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about SeatGeek. Have you been treating your butt well lately? Has it been going places? No? Then you've got to try SeatGeek. There's nothing I love more than going to sporting events live, and SeatGeek is my choice every time I need to buy tickets. I recently moved out to Denver from the East Coast, and I can't wait to explore all the professional and college stadiums the area has to offer. I've already checked out a Colorado game in Boulder, which I cannot recommend enough, and I'm excited to get to a Broncos game next. And when I do, I'm turning to SeatGeek. SeatGeek is so beloved, it's been made the highest-rated ticketing app for all types of events, including concerts, festivals, sports, and more. I'll be checking out Russell Wilson in his first season with the Broncos, or maybe hit up an Avalanche game as they look to defend the Stanley Cup. Whatever event you're excited to see live, you can find the best tickets with SeatGeek, which rates every available ticket from 1 to 10 to make sure you're getting the best possible deal. You can get $20 off your first purchase with promo code FANTASYPROS at SeatGeek.com or on the SeatGeek app. That's promo code FANTASYPROS for $20 off your first SeatGeek order. SeatGeek, get your butt in a seat. Download the app today. Erickson, what's your number 5?
Yeah, I'm looking at Devin Singletary under 47.5 rushing yards. So we saw Singletary's role reduced dramatically on Thursday night. I was at that game. A lot of James Cook did not see Devin Singletary. So I was very interested to see kind of how the box score shook out because I was at the game. And, you know, his final rushing line looked okay. 13 carries for 51 yards and 1 touchdown. But I constantly looked on the field. I was like, is Devin Singletary playing? Like, is he hurt? Like, why is he not on the field? Because it really was the James Cook show. Season high, 43% snap share, posted career numbers across the board, 14 for 64 on the ground, 6 for 6 as a receiver for 41 yards, ran more routes than Devin Singletary did. So the increasing role for James Cook was already kind of apparent. It was already happening as a receiver. I mean, James Cook ranks 2nd in the NFL in yards per route run this season. Devin Singletary ranks 7th worst in yards per route run this season. So you're seeing James Cook already take over that receiving role because of how more efficient of a pass catcher he is than Devin Singletary. And that's also just taking way more snaps and carries from Devin Singletary in general. Like, we're just not seeing him get as much volume as he's used to getting when he was playing 70% of the snaps all year long. So the last time Devin Singletary played the Jets, he had 8 carries for 24 yards. And that was with him as the locked and loaded starter in this Bills offense. Like, the Jets defense is for real. And we saw them not only stop the Bills offense before, but beat the Bills offense before. So I think that we're going to see a scenario where James Cook is the lead back here and Devin Singletary, you're hoping maybe gets there on some type of carry volume. But the fact that he really hasn't been that efficient this year anyway, I'm very, very shying towards the under on his rushing prop because I just don't believe he's going to get the volume to get there. And I don't think he has the skill set to rip off an explosive run for him to hit the over on his rushing prop.
So I understand that in week 13, it was the James Cook show, but like just the week before on Thanksgiving, he had 2 rushing attempts. He had 2 receptions. I mean, he's not a guy that's been very consistent all year long, and he's really only had 2, maybe 3 weeks where he's gotten like the types of usage that you would even be somewhat afraid of if you have the other running back in that backfield. Do you trust Cook enough to be fading Singletary?
I guess for me, I look at it as the Bills now have had 10 days between their last time they played and this game that they're playing against the Jets. I can't imagine they go back and watch the film and be like, you know what? We got to get Devin Singletary the ball more. Like, I cannot imagine they do that. Whereas James Cook looked explosive as both a rusher and receiver. Devin Singletary also dropped two passes in this last game. Like, besides the fact that he's a guy that's trusted in pass protection, I don't really think that we're going to see much of Devin Singletary. I think this is really a beginning of a change in usage from these two running backs. We see rookie running backs, or rookies in general, like, take on bigger roles as on the second half of the season. So I think that's what we're starting to see here with James Cook as the Bills kind of turn to him like they turned to Devin Singletary at the second half of last season.
Let's take a very quick second to let everyone know about the Daily Juice podcast. If you like sports betting, you should check out the Daily Juice. Host Sean Green delivers all his favorite picks across the sports world in under 15 minutes every single day between the NFL, college football and basketball, NBA, the World Cup. We cover it all. The Daily Juice podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. You can also listen to it at bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. Welsh, give me your number four.
All right. Everybody likes a good revenge narrative, right? I do. I love it to be inside of my fantasy picks and my bets. And this week, this is one that is not listed currently on, but I can pretty much give you a predictor of where it's going to lie. I took this last week and it failed, but it was the first time it's failed. TJ Hawkinson receptions. Last week, that marker was 4.5. He had not had less than 5 receptions in any game as a Minnesota Viking. Then, of course, didn't happen last week. He did have 6 targets in that game. This week, going up against the Detroit Lions. Revenge narrative. He has had no less than 6 targets in every single game. He has had 9 or more targets as a Minnesota Viking 3 of the 5 games. And he's going back to play his old team where you're going to be able to throw the ball. This is a great one. Receiving yard prop will probably be in play. The reason it's going to stick at 4.5, or at least it should, but it might change later in the week, is he has only had 5 receptions in 2 of the last 3, regardless of the targets. But again, give me some revenge narrative. Give me that he hasn't been under that this entire time. I'll take it at 5.5 if it goes there as well. I think it's going to open up at 4.5. There might be okay juice. It moves. And then you might even get it pushed to 5.5 because he's playing his old team. But TJ Hawkinson receptions, he's been an awesome force over there. One of the top tight ends. And, you know, I think a question I've dealt with my fantasy pros ranks when I've gone in, and I did this last week, guys like Mark Andrews have been so great. Now you take out a guy like Lamar Jackson, theoretically, we're looking at with this sprain, which can be, it's definitely probably not going to play this week, but even into 3 weeks. And this is minuscule to fantasy because you're starting all these guys anyways, but I'm moving Hawkinson over Mark Andrews. Now, Huntley might be a little bit more proficient, but Andrews has had a little bit of a struggle there. So that's the level of movement I think that Hawkinson is going in this Minnesota Vikings offense. So I love TJ Hawkinson. Give me 4.5 receptions over.
You read my mind. I was going to specifically ask about where you would have him ranked among tight ends because it is such a wasteland position. And yeah, Hawkinson has been so good in getting a lot of these targets since coming to Minnesota. We had an incredible revenge week in week 13. And this is probably the best one in week 14. I haven't totally looked at the whole slate to see who else might be going up against their old teams, but this is a pretty good one.
Revenge. Give me revenge. I want to know, Erickson, do you like my revenge narrative? Are you in this one? I feel like you're not a revenge narrative guy.
I mean, we don't see a lot of revenge games hit, to be totally honest. Like, AJ already Brown is a different animal, and that's why he hit. But, I mean, there was a lot of revenge guys that played last week that also did not fire as well. So,
Erickson said, I mean, well, just knew.
100%. The minute he's like, well, okay, you're not. I got you. Thank you very much. Move on. Move on to Erickson.
Yeah. Erickson, give me your number 4.
I'm doing Damian Pierce under 60.5 rushing yards. I'm just looking at the scopes of this particular matchup. So you got the Texans on the road here playing against Dallas Cowboys, probably the best NFL defense in the NFL. You know, just casual 17.5 point road dogs. I cannot take the over on a running back that really only works on early downs. That is a 17.5 point underdog on the road. It's just a scenario where you can totally see Damian Pierce getting game scripted out here. If they fall behind, which they probably will, they're going to be throwing the ball, trying to catch up. Will Damian Pierce even be in the game at that point? There's just a lot of question marks that can't point me in the direction of taking the over on Pierce. Now, we know Dallas's defense has been bad against the run. Like, that is really how, you know, if the Texans were to win this game or cover or whatever, it would be because of the running game. But I'm not trying to overthink it here. You know, and with player props, I think it's really, that's the point that I try to do, is just looking at what's the smart bet to make? And it's just taking the under on Dameon Pierce. You know, I know he got the carries last week, but 2 weeks before, he had 8 carries for 16 yards. Like, he wasn't getting any usage because the teams were getting blown out. So I'm too afraid to use him. And even from a fantasy perspective, the fact that the team is using Dare Ogunbowale at the goal line, he had 2 carries last week with both inside the 10-yard line. Just bad juju all around for Dameon Pierce.
Welsh, I know you agree.
Yeah, I would have taken this one had Erickson not gotten to the sheet before me 100%, especially on unders. I think a general sense of betting props in any capacity, whether it's like, you know, like the price picky type of thing or into, you know, your draft books and actually going over unders, like unders are tough. Unders are generally tough to kind of, you know, stomach and get with. But this is one that I'm 100% with because I've been questioning Dameon Pierce's viability the rest of the year, and we might even get to that a little bit later. But yeah, I think this is a smash one. This is a great under, probably my favorite under of the available ones we are seeing in the early market.
Pierce among running backs in our expert consensus rankings this week is 12th. So the experts are not quite with you on taking the under here, unless
it's going to move. It's going to move.
It will probably move. and while she referenced it, today's mailbag question is actually about Pierce. So we will jump into that now instead of at the end of the show.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Remember, if listeners want even more access to our analysts, be sure to join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to our analysts through AMA stages and more. The question is simple. Is Dameon Pierce a sit rest of season? Welsh, I'll start with you.
Oh, man. Rest of season's tough because if I remember correctly, the rest of the schedule isn't atrocious. I think this is the worst game that's coming in. But the
I'll read it for you here quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
At Dallas versus the Chiefs, at Tennessee versus Jacksonville, at Indy.
Okay, so here's my main problem, and this is like my big crux of all of this with Dameon Pierce, is this team over the last couple of weeks, we saw he had like 2 8-yard games or whatever it was, or 10-yard games receiving and rushing, is that when this team is behind, they're not finding ways anymore to run. And guess what they're going to be the rest of the season? Behind consistently. And they're not getting Dameon Pierce involved in the pass game a whole bunch. They're not setting up that they've got to have like a half where they can have not even just a lead, but have the game be close so they can establish a run. You got Kansas City in there. Derrick Henry is going to rush for 200 yards against. I mean, it's going to be bad. And I don't see how Dameon Pierce is going to crack 15 plus carries, even like he did last week. And he got 70 yards. So I don't think the matchups work. I don't think the usages work. You also have to think about rookie running backs and that rookie wall. They're way past their collegiate, carry span that they can have in a season. I just don't think it fits. So I wouldn't blanket tell you cannot start Dameon Pierce the rest of the season because that's silly. It's always circumstantial. But I ain't going to rank him 12. Not going to rank him 15 on any of these weeks. And I'm probably going to be looking for viable options in other places. So if you were to give me a yes or no, probably not starting him the rest of the year in a vacuum.
And of course, probably the game they have the best chance of winning in that stretch is week 18 when most fantasy matchups are, you know, done for the year. When they face the Colts. Erickson, what do you think on Pierce?
He's going to get some type of volume in this matchup, but I mean, if you're looking at Pierce versus DeAndre Swift, like I want to play DeAndre Swift. Like I wouldn't blame someone for wanting to start Zonovan Knight over a guy like Dameon Pierce. Start Rashad White. You know, yeah, he's in a backfield committee, but he catches passes. So like there are a lot of options that I think if you're smart, especially in your flex, like definitely would not be looking to put Pierce in the flex. Like give me a wide receiver with some upside versus Pierce, who is really just a floor play at best because he's not going to score. And that's the reason why Dallas ranks 5th in fewest fantasy points allowed in running backs. They give up a lot of yards, but they rank top 5 in fewest touchdowns allowed on the ground. So if he doesn't score, he doesn't catch passes, what are we doing here?
Welsh, give me your number 3.
By the way, I just wanted to point out to just one last thing on that. It's interesting. They give up the 5th less fantasy points, but they also give up over 100 rushing yards. I mean, that's like the discrepancy about like just what they don't allow. It's just a weird matchup overall. All right. My number 3, I'm going back to wide receivers and I'm going to go with DK Metcalf. I think this is actually a pretty low line this week. 65.5 is the receiving marker. And obviously this is a guy you're starting week in and week out, but you know, there have been some wide receivers I've been discussing a lot in different places about, you know, the value of how much they're moving up over on The Athletic. I was talking about this week with like Garrett Wilson and Christian Watson, guys that are starting to move up. Like, where do they start to balance with these guys? But DK Metcalf is in this spot, and this is a really, really great number. Carolina's giving up over 150 yards, if you just want to round it, to starting wide receivers right now, and it's Carolina. DK Metcalf has hit this 65.5 line for three straight weeks. Last week, 8 targets, 8 catches, 127 yards. He had 15 targets against the Raiders a week before, had 90 yards and 9 targets on 71 yards on 6 catches. So that's 8 targets or more in all three of his last three games. This is not going to change against Carolina. He's going to bully the cornerbacks. He's going to get the ball. This is an easy number. It almost feels a little bit trappy, but if you take away those last three games, the previous four, he did not hit this marker. So, I mean, it has been a tale of two halves of the last half for DK Metcalf. He's just been so much better. Geno's going to sling the ball. I like that number, 65.5 on the over for DK Metcalf.
Yeah, imagine at the beginning of the season telling yourself that you're going to have this much faith in Geno Smith to take an over on one of his receivers at this point in the year. Erickson,
imagine telling yourself too, I just want to say, imagine telling yourself, hey, I'm going to start Geno Smith 80% of the time over Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers this entire year. We'd have been like, all right, cool.
Without even blinking at this point, there's no hesitation.
Yep. Also, better take Geno over Deshaun Watson too. Just no big deal. Let's do that.
Erickson, let's go to you.
I'm going Tony Pollard over 71.5 rushing yards. 7 different running backs have gone over 71.5 rushing yards versus the Texans over their last 7 games. Tony Pollard has hit the over on 6 of his last 8 games. Look, the Dallas Cowboys, we just talked about them. They're 17.5 point home favorites. They're going to score somehow. They're going to score a lot of points somehow. They're going to put up yards somehow, some way. So Tony Pollard could honestly get this in one play. He could rip off a 75-yard touchdown on the first play of the game. So I think that it's just you want to bet the overs on the Cowboys. Now, it's particularly because Houston doesn't give up a lot of, you know, passing yardage because teams just run the football on them. And because the Dallas Cowboys have 2 capable backs, Tony Pollard's the more explosive guy. I just don't see a scenario where, I mean, if he's getting 15 touches, 15 carries, I don't see how he doesn't get over 75 yards. So I'm just going to take the over here with Tony Pollard. I think it's actually a good thing to parlay with a thing like Damian Pierce, where if Damian Pierce is not running the ball, it probably means that Tony Pollard is running the ball on the other side. So I think it's a nice correlation between the two props.
Can I ask, Andrew, what is your thought on the Zeke prop, which is sitting out there about 64.5 yards? I think it's 62 or 64, but either way, over 60 yards. What do you think about both of those guys? I mean, 130 yards combined. I almost took Zeke in this. I would rather Pollard 1,000% over, but you had him. But what do you think about Zeke on that number too?
Yeah, I mean, as a Zeke fader, basically through all of draft season, I have to admit that I'd probably want to take the over on him. It's just really, you're really struggling between, okay, do they get it before they get taken out of the game? Like that's what you're hoping for. I mean, Malik Davis was like a top 40 scoring running back last week because they scored so many points in the fourth quarter. So there's a chance that we see all of these Cowboys run wild. I don't want to overthink it, so I would go with Zeke. I think Zeke is a good start this week. I mean, he has a lot of touchdown equity, and he's been more efficient since coming back from his injury. So, yeah, I would probably go with the over on Zeke as well.
Yeah, he hit this 2 straight weeks. By the way, something I didn't even realize, 5 straight weeks with a touchdown, and 2 of those are multi-touchdowns for Zeke right now, so it's been nuts. But he has hit those the last 2 weeks, but a little risky. It's an incredible matchup.
Yeah, it'd be in the expert consensus rankings again for this week. Both guys are top 13 plays according to the industry right now. So obviously as good a matchup as you can get. We're obviously using a lot of player prop over-unders today. So if you want to actually bet on some of these prop bets we've mentioned or find some other good ones, check out our prop bet cheat sheet at bettingpros.com/props. It gives you the best prop bets based on our projections and the prop bet odds from different sports books. People love it. I love it too. You should really check it out. Again, that's prop bet cheat sheet. That's bettingpros.com/props. Let's move to our number 2, Welsh from you.
All right, so I didn't even realize how much of a trend I have in this game. I'm going to another one that hasn't opened up in the market, but I'm just giving you some preamble to it so you can jump on it when it pops up, because this is probably one of my favorites. I get stuck sometimes, especially in the prop market, really getting obsessive about receiving yards for running backs, and that can be too dangerous sometimes. So you've got to pick and choose on those guys. Last week, this is one that Bogdan and myself both absolutely were on and smashed. And I think it's going to be another one this week, because I think the number has a potential to still be low. I'm hopeful. And I'm talking about DeAndre Swift over on his receiving yards. Now, his receiving yard prop last week was between 23 and 24.5 yards. He went over 40. So that's a big number to think about here. Minnesota is giving up 47 yards receiving to running backs right now, which is the fourth most in the NFL as far as what they're giving up to running backs on the receiving side. I think this number is probably going to open sub 30 just based on where it was last week. I don't think you would jump from 23, 24 up to 34, 35 after that. I opened up that there's a possibility, kind of like this, anywhere into the 35 range. Over that, you're getting a little bit more risky, but I just think there's a ton of value on it right now because he is now going back to full force. I think he had that 1% snap percentage over Jamal Williams this past week. He's obviously always involved in the pass game. They want to pound the ball. It's going to go to Jamal Williams. I don't care about touchdowns here. I don't care about fantasy points. I care about receiving yards. And I've hit this point home. Minnesota is bad against the pass right now, also because their offense is so efficient and there's just more offense out there, that this could be another 300 plus game for Jared Goff, which that might be something to take a look at. Amon-Ra St. Brown obviously going to be involved, but DeAndre Swift is going to get his touches, and this might not be the game where they want to give him another, you know, 15 whatever carries, get him more involved in the receiving side. So anything under 35, I think it'll open up right around the 30 marker. This is my number two, and I would smash it.
Yeah, so three of your first four are overs in this game.
All overs, baby.
I'm trying to pull up the line now. I don't know what the
is this
total
game
points.
In Detroit or is it in Minnesota?
It's in Detroit. I was going to ask, are you taking the over on the game total as well, given all these props?
What is the game total? And the answer is yes.
It's probably like 50 something. It's got to be probably 50.
Probably
right?
51. I'm going to say I don't have it up in front of me. My guess is going to be like 51.
It opened at 51. It looks like it's up to 53.
Oh, geez.
It's going up there.
So there's a reason that you might, you know, there's a reason behind my method here of like, there's going to be a bunch of points scored. The Lions are going to be in here. Get Swift, get Hockenson, get Amon-Ra St. Brown. Those are great guys to bet on. And I think the Lions are going to be pretty advantageous towards them. Of course, though, I have given you two lines that we don't have yet in Hockenson and DeAndre Swift. But based off of last week, I feel pretty confident in where it'll go. I would point out Swift is one I kind of feel like I'd want to open up with early because I really think it'll be sub 30 early in the week. I would jump on that before it starts pushing over 30 because, again, fourth most receiving yards to running backs, Minnesota, and we're talking about DeAndre Swift.
Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Trade Coffee. The holidays are here, so it's time to start thinking about what you're going to gift your loved ones. I have lots of family members that are absolutely impossible to buy for, but with Trade Coffee, it gets a whole lot easier. If you love drinking coffee every morning, or are like me and absolutely need it to start my mornings right, then you have to check out Trade Coffee, delivered fresh from the finest local roasters around the country. Trade Coffee is a coffee subscription service that makes it simple to discover new coffees and make your best cup at home every day. Whether you already know what you like or are new to specialty coffee and need some help, Trade makes it easy and convenient to discover new coffees. It's the perfect gift for loved ones, and Trade Coffee makes it easy with their digital gifting options for last-minute shoppers. Treat yourself or the coffee lover in your life with Trade Coffee. Right now, Trade is offering our listeners a total of $30 off a subscription and access to limited time holiday specials at drinktrade.com/fantasypros. That's drinktrade.com/fantasypros for $30 off drinktrade.com/fantasypros.
Erickson, let's move to your number two.
This is probably my favorite over, which is why it's ranked number two. Deontay Foreman over 55.5 rushing yards. I mean, have we watched the Seattle Seahawks defense play against the run lately? I mean, Josh Jacobs, 229 rushing yards. Rashad White, 105. And now, so those are good running backs. Now let's go to the dusty running backs. Oh, Cam Akers, 60 yards last week. Leonard Fournette, 57 yards a couple weeks ago. So we're seeing good running backs. We're seeing bad running backs all run over the Seattle defense that has allowed the second most fantasy points to running backs this season. And you look at Deontay Foreman. He's gone over 100 rushing yards in four of his last six games, and the only time he's hit the under are in games where they lost by double digits. Now, this game is a 3.5-point spread, so that suggests to me, at least, that we're going to see some back and forth. I don't expect Seattle to just blow out the Carolina Panthers. You know, they have Sam Darnold under center. They have a stable body at quarterback, and it's a beatable run defense that their team is going to feed Deontay Foreman, which is what they've done ever since they traded Christian McCaffrey. So I think that this number is honestly disrespectful to Foreman and what he's done so far this season. So I came out with the disrespect for Nick Chubb's prop last week, and that turned out to be wrong. this one won't be wrong. Deontay Foreman, lock it in, over 55 and a half rushing yards.
Yeah, also disrespectful. He's down at 32 in ECR for the week. I don't fully understand that. Well, like, he should at least be around the mid-20s, I would think, given the matchup and the usage.
Especially with six teams on bye week, and he's not a top 30 running back?
Also, yeah. Damian Pierce was 13, did we say? And Deontay Foreman's in the 30s? Is that real?
Yeah. Pierce is 12. Yeah, okay. Foreman is 32. There's a 20 player difference just at running back. Not even like those are flex rankings.
Andrew, who would you take this week? Deontay Foreman or Damian Pierce? Who do you want?
I'm playing Deontay Foreman.
Deontay Foreman. I'm
in the same
go with
role, except one of them is facing Dallas and the other one is facing the Seahawks.
All right.
Some guys just to name that Foreman is listed behind. James Cook, Kareem Hunt, Gus Edwards hasn't done anything lately. Cam Akers coming off of only one good game. I don't understand this.
Can you imagine a world where you start Cam Akers over Deontay Foreman right now?
No.
I think it's got to be the, he's coming off the bye week, so they haven't been added to the ECR lag. That's what I'd have to imagine.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he's gonna definitely be in the top 24 when
be
it's
sure
all
to keep
done,
checking ECR throughout the week to see how this thing updates. Welsh, let's go to your number one prediction.
This is my favorite, and it will be my favorite until it's not, until I am proven otherwise. I have taken this multiple weeks. I will continue to hit it. Let me tell you a story about Garrett Wilson, who stanks with Zach Wilson. Anytime Zach Wilson is not out there is amazing. My boy Mike Curlin tweeted this out. Over 11 targets per game, 6 catches per game, 94 yards per game when Zach Wilson is not the quarterback for the New York Jets. Garrett Wilson has been incredible the last 2 weeks. I actually had him as a wide receiver one this past week in the Fantasy Pros ECR. 8 catches, 95 yards 2 weeks ago. 5 catches, 95 yards, 8 targets, 2 touchdowns. 8 catches, 15 targets for 162 yards this past week. The number, it feels trappy because it shouldn't be this low, is 63.5 yards for Garrett Wilson. He has hit this in 4 of the last 5 weeks. He has had more than those 90 yards, and Buffalo is 20th in points given up to wide receivers from a fantasy perspective. I expect them to be down, even though the defense might keep them in. Either way, it doesn't matter. They are going to be throwing the ball, and it's going to go to Garrett Wilson. I mean, that target share is 23 targets over the last 2 games. If I'm getting 10-plus targets, this is not an impossible number to hit. He had a 60-yard catch in this last game. He might be able to do it in 2 catches. This is my absolute favorite, and like I said, I mean it when I say it. It will be my number one favorite until it's not. Anytime you're going to give me under 70 yards on Garrett Wilson right now, especially in a game where they might be behind, which I know Buffalo is a better defense, but from behind or a poorish defense, I'm going to smash this one. And this is my favorite. Garrett Wilson, 63.5 over receiving yards, all overs to, life's too short for those unders.
And to note, the last time they faced the Bills earlier this year, he had 92 receiving yards, 8 catches on 9 targets. And that was with Zach Wilson, right? Unless I'm like totally misremembering. Like that was with the bad guy. So now with
Mike White, that was with that wasn't Flacco.
That was week 9, so that was not Flacco anymore.
Garrett Wilson.
But yeah, a good performance by him. Then I would expect a great one again. Erickson, I know you love Garrett Wilson. You loved him in the draft season. You've loved him all season long. So we'll move right along to your number one.
Yep, I'm going under here. Dalvin Cook under 80.5 rushing yards because the Lions makers are not woke on this Lions defense that is now shutting down running backs. Second fewest fantasy points allowed running backs since week 6. The Lions. Yeah, so the matchup that everyone's like, oh, like smash, like they're playing the Lions. Like, no, that's not been the case. Their pass defense, yes, it is still horrible. But their run defense has turned it around immensely. 79 rushing yards allowed per game ranks top 10. 6th fewest rushing attempts allowed per game at 19. Dalvin Cook has not topped 80 rushing yards in back-to-back games this year. So I know that he went over this number the first time that they played the Lions earlier in the season. Not the same Lions defense. So I think that Dalvin Cook's going to go under here. And it's really because it's just a big number. Like 80.5 rushing yards. A lot of Dalvin Cook's big rushing games have come when he's ripped off one massive run. But from an efficiency standpoint, he really hasn't been super consistent. Now, could he get there eventually because he's going to get a lot of carries? That's why you're obviously concerned. But I just think that the line is too big. It's not putting any respect on the Lions defense. It's really been much better since week 6, like I pointed out. And just look at some of the running backs that have faced the Lions. Travis Etienne, what did he do last week? Nothing. Devin Singletary, what did he do the week before? Nothing. Like, these guys have disappointed. And I think Dalvin Cook is really not going to have a monster game. But when you first look at the matchup, oh, monster game for Cook. Don't think that's the case here, so I'm going under on 8.5 rushing yards.
Yeah, Cook's only hit 80 in three games since week six. He's only done it, I believe, six times all season long. So it's not even been a number that he's getting week in and week out. And then you factor in the improved defense. Just really quickly, are you moving him down in your fantasy rankings a significant amount this week?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to definitely be on the outer skirts of the RB1 conversation. He's been someone that's still hard to get outside of your top 15, especially on a week with six teams on bye. You're not going to bench Dalvin Cook, but I would temper expectations with Dalvin Cook. I don't think that he's going to be in for a smash spot, which is usually the case, especially Dalvin Cook in historically against the Lions. Like, he's historically destroyed this team, but I don't think that's the case here. Dan Campbell's got this team. Hey, the lines makers are the people that are betting the money are betting on the Lions to win this game. So if they're winning this game, that's not good for Dalvin Cook.
We'll wrap it up there, fellas. Thank you both for a great episode today. It was an honor to finally get to podcast with you, Welsh. Erickson, less of an honor since I already do two shows a week with you anyway. Everybody listening, please remember to check out the Daily Juice podcast and our prop bet cheat sheets over at Betting Pros, plus all the awesome opportunities we mentioned with SeatGeek and Trade Coffee. Most of all, thank you, the fans, for listening. For Erickson and Welsh, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
You guys ready?
Let's rock. Wait,
hold on. All right, everybody, just all right. Hair.
Everyone's hair is great. We gotta do a hair check. We usually don't do hair checks on the show, but
it's making my day. All right, I'm ready.
Okay.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.